Good morning, wonderful listeners. You've tuned into Post Session Podcast, a podcast filled with the stoke of a surf session and the wise guidance of an ocean voyager. Your water-loving hosts are ready to share this infectious state of mind while encouraging and inspiring you
for your next adventure.
Okay, that's what it looks like when you lip sync through the intro. Next time it'll be accompanied by a dance. Today we have DJ over here as our guest. I don't know why I weirdly pointed across the table because I'm thinking about how big his biceps look in the camera now that Billy's moved it over there on him so that I didn't look so large. Thank you, Billy. Anyway, we have DJ Strunz who...
In the house.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Local legend.
A little late.
Nutcase, yeah, a little late.
They weren't prepared anyway.
He came. That's true of every episode, so don't feel special, dude.
Don't hold your breath.
Today we're going to, well, why don't you walk us through the table of contents and let's just get started because we're all over the place.
Why don't you introduce, like, who is properly? DJ Strunz?
Oh, yeah, a proper introduction.
Know You're something. Right. Our readers.
You're right.
Listeners.
DJ Strunz, father of two, husband of one. Photographer. For Surfer Magazine for about a million years.
Surfing Magazine.
That's what I said.
I hate Surfer Magazine.
I do too.
No, hey. Actually, they're both gone. They're all rest in peace at this point.
Well, you know
they
what?
They were the competition.
You said it out loud, though, so.
He did photography for Surfer's Journal, too, right?
Still, yep.
Yep.
And Globe. You worked for Globe.
Worked for lots of people.
Still do. Yeah.
Too many bosses.
But he has some really cool, interesting new stuff that he's doing. With blood and guts
fake
and
blood.
North American Rescue and those guys.
I bled on the photo shoot.
Okay.
Mostly my blood all over.
He got
That's
a paper
real
cut.
Blood.
He got a paper cut.
I did.
Yeah, but they bandaged it right up.
Yeah, put a anyway. Tourniquet on that paper cut, no more bleeding.
Okay, now that our listeners, I'm sure, exactly know where we're at.
They know exactly where we are with things.
They're like, what is this?
I know.
All right. Why are you here?
So every episode, we do the same thing, same structure. So we
I'm here to change that.
We're off the rails.
Gonna derail us. Yep.
So we're gonna start with some post-session notes. What we did in the water this week or last week?
Yeah.
I peed freely.
Yeah.
Gross. You still do that?
Don't lie.
We'll get into that.
Ashley lives in denial.
I really want to know though. Was it in the wetsuit or was it free? Free pee.
No, he just whizzes all over himself all day in the wetsuit.
In the wetsuit. You have to. When you're out in the water for that long, what are you going to do?
No. I take it down every time.
Whatever.
I take it down every time. You know what? Unless it's a six.
That's because you go diving in a pool and they have purple dye.
Oh, yeah.
I go diving in the ocean. I just pee freely.
In the pool? Those tablets are not real.
I think we should table this conversation until the injustice of the week.
You're right.
Which is the next section.
Next section.
Did you bring something, DJ? And if not, we can use that.
Wait, did we even finish the post... The table of contents?
No, that's what I'm doing right now.
Oh, okay.
Post-session notes. Injustice of the week. Then we're going to dive a little deeper. With what DJ's been up to. Maybe a little bit of what he used to do and why he moved to this new thing.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that stuff.
Okay. And then we're going to end with a little God Waters and maybe a little homework for our listeners.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. That sounds great.
So you want Injustice of the Week? Is that what we're going
for? No, not yet.
Well, did you listen to the table?
The gun.
She said, like, we were jumping right into it. I was like, did you bring one? I was like, well, I don't know. Maybe I did.
Really?
Maybe I didn't.
Well, Keith, you've got a little time to think about it. First, we want to hear, what have you been doing in the water over the last little bit of time?
You already told us you didn't get an invite to opening of grouper season.
No invite for opening of grouper season, which is kind of my own fault, because I just got home from a trip, and I'd kind of warned everyone. But that's no excuse if you're listening.
You can name their names. Yeah, call them right out. Yeah. Who didn't invite you?
Everyone. I'm not part of the cool crowd.
Jerks.
Yeah. Sheesh. Well,
he's fallen from grace.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah. No, I've gotten to dive a lot this year compared to the 2 years previous. So I'm pretty happy. I've been snorkeling regularly. Ashley goes diving. I go snorkeling. Not all of us can hold, you know, national records and be that cool.
Exactly.
And not have to pee in her wetsuit. You know, she has special wetsuits that have a zipper down there, like those Japanese wetsuits. I don't get that luxury. I just dive in.
Well, they sponsor her, so that's why.
My wetsuits are so old, I do pee freely because there's holes and it's well ventilated.
You guys just spread all kinds of misinformation. I mean,
I told you, I'm the train that will derail you.
Wow. Yikes.
So
snorkeling right out.
Yeah, snorkeling last week. We went out on Friday, way off to the Gulf Stream, and chased around tunas and wahoos and mutton snapper.
Wait, did you go with Bruce?
No. I went last week, Friday. I went out with Hunter Heverly and John Dornelles and Mark Winneberger.
Oh, Johnny.
So y'all were spear diving?
We were.
Okay.
I was photographing the spear diving and partaking in some spear diving myself. Spear diving. Poked some fish. I had kind of had a run with no wahoo this year and finally got that monkey off my back. So fresh wahoo. Mm-hmm. And we had a cool encounter with lots of sharks. Lots of sharks.
Tell that
That's
encounter.
What I've been hearing. Been hearing it's really sharky right now.
Super sharky. Yeah.
What kind of shark? How close were they? How many?
There were 1 million sharks. It was Sharknado.
Get real, man.
No, so, yeah, if you watch the tower cam right now, it's just loaded with sharks. My kids just sit there and watch it all day. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, turn it off. They're like, no. Out there, it was mostly sandbars.
Sand tigers, sandbars.
Nope, sandbars. So okay. Big dorsal fin.
Big pectoral fins.
Big pec fins. In that 4 to 6 foot range, kind of.
Kind of gnarly, aggressive.
Can be super curious. Mm.
I wonder if all the sharks have moved out then, because we were inshore not too long ago and we didn't see anything.
Well, the tower's covered in them right now.
Then they must all just be at the tower.
But we were in 180 feet of water and they were all over us there too. So the two interesting ones dove down on a mutton snapper that had come up the chum line and got down to about my max depth of 60 feet. Mm-hmm. Ashley's still just right there. She's still like, okay, kick cycle number 3. I have 18 more to go before I'm at 250 feet.
Thank you for recognizing my superiority.
You are.
Because if you didn't, I'd have to.
You know, we've hated Ashley ever since she started diving and went and shot a red grouper on like dive 2.
Good.
We're like,
God,
who
this is
are
like
you?
Interviewing Kelly White over here.
Oh, I can bring it all back, girl. We go way back.
Okay.
So the down there. Shark. Yep. And then all of a sudden, one of them rushed me. He was very intense about not wanting me or wanting to occupy the same space in the mm-hmm. water column that I was
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm.
So I shifted my attention away from the mutton snapper, and I was forced to give him a little poke in the nose with said spear gun.
Yeah, just a little
just a little nudge.
Push.
Just
yeah,
redirect.
Push.
You picked
redirect.
His nose a little bit.
Yeah,
right,
it was
right.
Like, hey, that one's looking a little boogery. Let's clean it out. So I pushed him away, and when I did, the mutton snapper decided it was time to make a Hail Mary on the piece of chum that was right behind my head. And I turned around and procured said snapper from about a foot away and took him back to the boat, which was really fun. And then later in the day, we had a very friendly, very frisky, young 8-foot tiger shark come in.
Someone else saw a tiger recently, too.
Bruce and those guys saw one, I think, the following day or two
that's
later.
That's amazing.
Fish hunter. Whoever, yeah, different, yeah, there's the tigers are out there right now. So this fish came in, and normally they're really shy, but I met her down at like 40, 50 feet,
mm-hmm.
and she wasn't shy, and then I followed her vertical up in the water column. She came right up underneath the flasher.
Sounds like a mating dance.
Yeah, we were
she
just.
She was a little frisky.
It was kind
she
of like,
was shy.
It was like Top Gun. I was there. He was there. We were inverted, canopy to canopy. And then she tried to go up to John and get a little friendlier, so he had to redirect her as well. But yeah, that was cool. That's kind of the last underwater adventure.
How many sharks did you end up feeding?
None. We don't feed sharks. Feed sharks and you turn them into a problem animal.
You hear that, people?
Don't feed the animals.
Don't feed the sharks.
Feed yourself, not the sharks.
And quit telling me, oh, I had to because it was after me. Because
I was scared.
Quit doing it. Quit doing it.
Yeah.
What about you? Is your story that good?
I say we just pass my possession. You've got a good one.
Here, I'll read yours. The water is warm and great as that is. The waves are kind of few and far. Great. Okay.
All right, moving on. Ashley, tell us about your Key West
one
adventure.
One up me. Come on. One up me. Go for
yeah.
it. Do
She's
it.
Got well,
it.
How deep did you go?
3 feet.
Yeah, I will say we were just in Key West doing a little private course, and we had done a course here in April
mm-hmm.
and went offshore. It was my first time offshore
did
North
you
Carolina.
Wear a life jacket?
I wore my wetsuit. I can
it's
swim.
Buoyant.
I can swim. But anyway, it's the first time I had been offshore in North Carolina for at least a year, because when everyone's going spearfishing, I have 2 kids, you know, mm-hmm. and also sometimes I just don't feel like diving anymore. But I remembered how awesome it is here.
I've done everything there is to do underwater. Call me mermaid.
I'm so bored.
Just check it off my bucket list. They are giving me a really hard time, Billy. You're going to have to edit most of this out. But anyway.
There is no editing, by the
way. No, there's no editing.
Post it and run for the island, Billy. Just raw.
Post it like it's hot.
Okay.
But the dive in here is awesome. Super awesome. It made me real happy and just reminded me of what I like about diving.
How long does it take you to get to the Gulf?
Well, we didn't go to the Gulf. We just went inshore. We were like 18 miles out or something. You know where we were. And it took us, it was fast run. It was super nice. I think it took us like 45 minutes or something, mm-hmm. which was great. But anyway, so I had that experience. Then we went down to Key West where I got to get some depth. And it also reminded me what I like about diving. So my favorite place
nitrogen
to dive.
Nitrogen narcosis.
That's right. That's quiet, dude. Remember when we interviewed Miguel?
Mm-hmm.
So my friend Miguel has two kids now, too. And he's like, just get me underwater. I don't care how deep it is. Set it. I'll go.
That's what I love, too. It's like no phone. Like, because so much of what I do now is like Zoom meetings, phone calls. And like offshore, there's no cell service. There's no phone.
That's great.
Yeah, we were going to do Zoom with DJ because we care about COVID and social distancing. He's all like, we're not doing that. So he just showed up this morning.
Yeah. I was like, they said coffee and snacks, but there were no snacks, so I might leave.
That's the old post-sesh. So anyway, I've had an awesome time in the water. And our course host in Key West, he does some coral restoration
work
stuff. It's awesome. He took us to his garden.
Oh, okay, where he
cultivates. He has it like strung up in the water column, and you can dive through this sea of basically growing baby corals.
And then they replant really them mm-hmm. on the coral. Wow. Mm-hmm.
They plant them, and it's pretty awesome. So,
how do you fertilize coral?
Shout out with urine. You just wee all over it. How does he fertilize? He just grows it. It just grows. They don't do anything.
I don't know that I believe that. Okay.
With sunlight grows it. So they have it in like 33 feet of water-ish, but then they string it up. Yeah, they suspend it. In the top part of the water column.
Nice.
What you got?
Well, I was just going to move us on into the injustice of the week.
Yeah. Do you have one?
Well, I'm going to kind of, this week is a big, well, it's a big week of first part of the month. And we're looking, because a lot of people die in this world from trauma. And this is National Stop the Bleed Month. So I'm going to plug that.
Stop the bleed.
So okay. It's an injustice that people die from stupid things. Like, not self-inflicted stupid things, but typically, you know, get in a car accident and somebody bleeds out or something happens, they have an accident. So,
They get shot with a spear.
Mm. Silly things happen. Accidents happen.
So, not trauma like you've been exposed to trauma, but trauma, trauma injury.
Trauma injury, yeah. Not, I mean, that's a whole nother ball of wax if we want to talk about emotional trauma. No, we're talking physical trauma that's easily fixed.
Okay. Hopefully.
But yeah, people bleed out. So this month, with being National Stop the Bleed Month, I'm really involved in educational stuff to promote people getting trained and learning how to not leak out all over the place.
Is that different than a first aid CPR mm-hmm. training class?
Yeah, because those are basic. Well, CPR is going to be chest compressions. And,
sure.
You know, depending mm-hmm. on if you're doing one that involves drowning with rescue breaths or mm-hmm. the standard.
But how is it different than the first aid that we would get?
Because you're going to do real trauma, not paper cuts. So
this is where the fake blood comes in?
This is where the fake blood for training comes in. We're talking penetrating trauma, amputations, fun stuff, gross stuff.
You're talking about
blood
tourniquet
on the concrete,
trauma.
Tourniquet trauma, wound packing.
What about clot?
Chest seals.
Quick clot.
That's wound packing, yep.
Which you guys are going to be using some quick clot.
Yep, which is a gauze now. It's not like what you think about just pouring
the
powder.
The gel, yeah.
Is it like a sponge?
No, they do make a sponge, but that just basically soaks up blood. Where,
like it says.
Yeah, but what you want to do is get down in there.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it's not on you. Hopefully it's on your friend. So then it doesn't hurt as bad on you. But when you pack that wound, you push your fingers way down deep inside and put pressure directly on the artery down in there that's bleeding and save their life. So it's... I wouldn't call it an injustice, but I wouldn't want to die from bleeding out. So,
well, an injustice I would add to that is I just saw in the news this morning that there was a hit and run where the guy died. And you have to wonder if...
If somebody had, could respond, yeah.
If he had responded, if he had applied pressure or whatever, if he'd called 911 and stuck around, this guy might would have lived.
Yeah. And there's lots of cases of, you know, people that could have survived if somebody had actually responded. And that's the big thing. It's like nowadays you see people just on their cell phone videoing it instead of actually responding.
Jumping
and that's
in.
An injustice. And that's, we, you know, just published something yesterday on all our platforms about the willing responder, because there's what motivates someone to actually be a good Samaritan versus stand there and videotape with your phone.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes don't you think it's just in you? Like some people respond and jump to action, and some people, it doesn't even occur to them to do that. They're waiting for somebody else.
Yep.
Not that they're not also benevolent and wouldn't want to help, but they just don't have the resources and or...
The training. And that's
Or you want to feel comfortable doing whatever you're doing, whether it's the Heimlich maneuver, no longer called Heimlich. But
some people would step in even without, you know, they would just try.
It's just in there, yeah.
I saw a video not too long ago where there's a woman. She's obviously on some kind of terrible drug, you know. And she's in the middle of the street, like two-lane traffic, freaking out. Mm-hmm. Like
having a bad trip.
Writhing around on the ground and pretty grotesquely. And there's video of it, and there's people around, but not one person
takes action.
Right, like tries to get her out of the street, in that situation, I don't know if you could touch her.
It's
you might
like
want to just let
the parable of the Good Samaritan. You know, it's like who's gonna watch out for their neighbor?
Yeah,
and a lot of times your neighbor might not be who you want it to be,
or who you think it's gonna be.
Yeah, it's just gonna be some random person. So, there's my injustice of the week.
That's a good one. Yeah.
And it kind of just segues perfectly into Dive Deeper.
Right.
I'm going to go because, you know, your photography career has garnered adequate attention over the years, you know, and you've talked about it in other platforms and stuff like that. And I know Laurel has some serious questions for you, and we don't want to ignore it. But I'm interested in this other stuff because...
It's
what you're doing now. Yeah, the North American Rescue. I've noticed you're the social media guy.
Yep, I'm the minister of propaganda.
You are, and it's the most shockingly disgusting propaganda out there. Like some of the pictures we see,
you know,
I'm thinking, what
Kate
is that?
Kate can't follow it. She's like, no.
Well, she's a fainting goat, right?
She is a fainting goat. it's like, hey, drop a blood.
I feel faint.
So you kind of mentioned that there's fake blood involved, and I'm wondering... What percentage of stuff you post is real and which of it's fake? Because a lot of it looks pretty real.
A lot of it is real because I get sent stuff from first responders and military and everything else. So it depends on what we're doing. If it's fake blood, normally it'll say training.
Right.
If it's a case study, it oftentimes is the real deal.
Do you have to have permission to post this?
Well, we have to follow HIPAA laws, so we're very careful. And then
not to show a face or something.
Not to show faces, identify. I have to scrub stuff for tattoos, all sorts of stuff.
Any identifying. And
it especially depends if it's military-related as well. Unit patches, there's lots that go in. Because
scrubbing for tattoos is probably a full-time job these days.
Be, yeah.
Jeez.
So you just want to make sure that you protect people's identities. And unless, you know, they're like, hey, I'm the victim. Here's my thing. Tag me. Because literally we've had people like comment on our feed, like, I hope not an accident like this never happens to me. But if it did, I really hope I make it on your feed.
Like, wait, are you allowed to say victim? I thought the preferred vernacular is injured person.
Injured person, whatever.
Yeah.
So that's what they teach us. Tell us, what is the purpose of the North American Rescue? What's their mission?
The funny thing is we have an eagle in our logo. Mm-hmm. So people are always driving by going, is that a bird rescue?
Whoopsies.
North American Rescue was founded over 20 years ago by a special operations PJ, pararescueman, who saw a need for point of injury care products and developed a litter, a folding collapsible litter, because that was a big need they had in his garage. And then went around and
I don't know what that is.
Me either.
Oh, so a litter is what you put injured person on the battlefield so you can carry them off. So for the PJs, they fly around in helicopters and then extricate downed pilots, mm-hmm. or they might be attached to special operations to add rescue capability. Mm-hmm. So they needed something that you could collapse down small, that you could carry an injured person on, you could spray it off and get all the blood and nastiness off of, that sort of thing, from the injured person.
Yeah, injured person. And, there are no victims out there.
Yeah, so our founder developed that capability.
Saw a need.
You know, high school education kind of guy, and is now he's struggling. I feel bad for Bob every day. His lifestyle is terrible.
What are you talking about?
Being very sarcastic. He's done very well for himself.
Okay. I'm like, really? So we're gonna just expose this injured person.
No, he is. The company has grown substantially since the coming out of his garage at that point, and now we were sold a couple of years ago to a very large medical supply company. It's like a Fortune 250 kind of company called Henry Schein, and we're a wholly owned subsidiary of Henry Schein. So I'm part of Team Schein now.
Team mm-hmm. Schein.
Team Schein. Thankfully, they leave me alone because I'm very outside of their comfort level with what we post on our social media.
Yeah, me too.
They're, you know, conservative in their approach.
They don't want to see the blood.
No, they're definitely not.
It's kind of a lot, though. No, it's kind of a lot. You're underselling it. It's gross. Sometimes you'll see somebody's head missing or something.
No, I don't post missing heads because how do you fix that?
Wait, well, what's the site
so
name?
Tell me.
I'm very careful. Like,
what you got in your bag?
The gore
of
that
for
I
the
post is
head.
Not gore porn. It's specifically there to teach how to fix an injury. Mm-hmm. I don't post things. There's lots of stuff out
there's
there.
There's no hope for the guy that's no, head's gone.
Yeah, there's clickbait stuff that sites will post where somebody doesn't make it. And we don't – I'm that's not why we're there. We're there
You're
to
so
educate
classy.
People. And to, yeah, I try to keep
You're
it.
Classy.
I keep the blood classy.
Yeah.
Well, so when you classy do blood. A reenactment,
yeah.
When – you're filming that, is the person screaming and
it depends
the whole thing?
If we're shooting video, yes, and or if it's training, like so I'll go out to training events with the military or first responders where it's an actual live training and mm-hmm. I'm there, I can't interfere, it's not a photo shoot, but I'm shooting photos to document for
the
them
training. Gotcha.
And right. with role players, you know, they'll have amputees that'll come in that are already, you know, and they'll moulage that, they'll put all sorts of different injury patterns on them. And they're supposed to act accordingly. So
sure. In shock. Or
yeah, depending mm-hmm. on the role player. Like, some role players really get into it.
I want to be a role player.
Right?
And, yeah.
And so they will scream and fight. And, you know, you get TBI people that are traumatic brain injury, that'll just kind of wander around and cause trouble and get into, you know. Like, if they're not paying attention, they'll just, like, walk off. I've seen it. And they're like, where's Timmy? And he's just gone, you know, and they have to go
Nobody
run
was
around
watching
and find
him.
Yeah,
no, wait, is that part of the scenario?
Yeah.
Or is that really Timmy what, just wandered off?
No, they'll set him up and be like, hey, if they don't keep track of you, just wander off. Because the job of the medics is to keep track of all their patients
right.
and all their injured people.
Injured people.
And so is there a specific scenario that y'all train for that's beyond the norm? Like, I mean, are you training for an alien invasion? Or are you training for a nuclear holocaust?
Yes. No, it's predominantly, well, it depends on who you're training with. First responders, there's active shooter training. Mm-hmm. There's, you can have motor vehicle accident stuff, fire scenarios, downed officer. There's all, I mean, you can what if scenarios all day long. With the military, most of them involve some level of mass casualty where you mm-hmm. have waves of patients coming in to overwhelm.
Bomb went off or something.
Yeah, or they got hit by an IED. So you have, you know, right when the medic's getting ahead of treating what he has in front of him, they'll send more just to keep pushing their limits.
Zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. So that was an important question, though, because the thing that's always been confusing, we joke like, oh, DJ's going to go play
Ranger.
G.I. Joe for a while. But the thing that was confusing is that this looks like super intense, high-octane military medic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like the niche and why the guy was successful, the founder, was that he was going into, you know, first aid, military, all this with just this extra knowledge base. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, he saw a need and he had the training and then he just
But I mean, these
came
people,
up with a product that worked.
These people already have training, mm-hmm. right? Like military medics already have training, but he comes in and does.
He just supplied something they did not have. They were using, because you got to think, in the evolution of medicine, mm-hmm. there's hills and valleys. Mm-hmm. So you had war creates the need to treat casualties. And then mm-hmm. when you come out of a cycle of war, people forget the lessons that are learned. Mm-hmm. So when we went into the first Gulf War and all of that, we had our last major conflict was Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the medicine hadn't evolved because there hadn't been a push or a need. So suddenly you're using old school medicine as well as old school
technique, materials
that needed to be pushed. And what you've seen over the last 20 years with the global war on terror is a major push on understanding how to keep casualties alive. And now you have casualties that otherwise would not have survived in previous conflicts, and they're surviving.
Today. Wow.
And there's a term called burden of survivorship, which is a whole crazy world of
trauma.
These are people that have polytrauma, like lots of things gone wrong, and they
survived
because the medics were that good and the care through the different roles of care was that incredible. But what's left is this person that's just
a
torn
shell.
Up. Like mm-hmm. they can be missing multiple limbs. And then what is that like to like live like and for their families? Like there's a lot that goes
into
it. Yeah.
Or feeling like that they had a purpose.
Yep.
And now survival. How do you choose? But when you're out there in the field doing this, you're
that's
not
the medic's
choosing.
Job. Yeah. You don't, you know, the person that gets destroyed, you know, it's the medic's job to get everyone home alive.
Sustain life.
And those medics do a, you know, incredible work, and they've done incredible work in Afghanistan and Iraq and other places to make sure that our guys get home.
Are you training with every faction of the military, like Navy, Army, you know, all of
them? It depends. Just depends on connections. And I spend a lot of time with the Army, a lot of time with the Air Force. I do some stuff with the Navy through the Marine Corps, through mm-hmm. the green side, because the quote-unquote, the corpsmen, the medics for the Marine Corps
are
Navy. And then they come over and they work with the Marines. Okay.
That's what my dad was.
Okay.
And my mom. Well, they're both corpsmen.
Did your experience with the surf photography translate over? And do you ever do any of this in a water environment?
Yes and yes. Okay. I think the personalities are very similar, especially in special operations in the surf world. You have alphas that are very motivated, very dedicated, want to be the best in the world.
Are you an alpha?
Maybe.
not here.
Because Ashley would be that.
So that's kind of, and there's a lot of correlation with time away from family. There's a lot of similarities that that we can have in common. Mm-hmm. And that helps open those doors of communication, because the guys, you know, when I say I was a photographer at Surfing Magazine, that usually resonates fairly well. Nobody's like, oh, that's stupid, typically.
Lame. You did what?
Yeah. So that helps open doors, and there's just a lot of similarities. And the skills, the action sports photography skills definitely translate, because
you're moving fast.
You're move, shoot, communicate with those guys. And if you're doing real-time training operations, it's full speed, so you've got to be able to keep up. If you can't keep up, you won't be invited back. So,
mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool, because you're showing them, hey, I'm with you.
Yeah,
I know what it takes.
I'm an old guy that has to keep up with young guys that are in peak physical condition.
Yeah. Can you look into the camera and show them your gray beard?
Gray beard.
Now show them your strong biceps. Show them. See? He can keep up.
Okay.
Oldie but a goodie.
Let me go back to your surf photography, because I did have one thing that I wanted you to share with our listeners. I have a young friend, she's doing some surf photography. And so could you give us...
Bless her heart.
Yeah. as quickly as possible, give us a scenario of your worst, maybe over the falls experience, how big the wave was, what it was like, and what happened when you were doing surf photography.
DJ never got tumbled.
I got tumbled. Because I've come from the East Coast, then you have to show up in like the North Shore, and you're like, hey, you're a senior photographer, go swim out there and do that. And you're like, I've never seen waves this big. Okay, whatever, we'll go.
Hope I make it.
Well, there's two scenarios that were kind of scary. I never had one where I hit my head on the reef or anything. I got run over by a surfer in New Jersey, which was my own fault because I was so buoyant. The water was 33 degrees. I was wearing a 5 mil free dive suit. Mm. I was so buoyant. I should have worn a weight belt. That's what I didn't think about. And I went to pull through the back of the wave, and I corked back out of it, and he hit me.
Did you injure him?
No, he injured me. Okay. I had to go get stitches. My ankle.
But see, with the North American Rescue stuff now, you would have just stitched your own self up.
No, don't ever stitch your own self up, because then you'll like sew in a bunch of bacteria, and then you'll have to, it's just a
bad idea.
Did you lose the camera? Like, did the camera ever come out of you? Okay.
No, I never, attached. Yeah, I always had it on a leash. But on the North Shore one time, after swimming for 10 hours straight, literally 10 hours straight.
I believe that. In
Big Pipeline. Both my hamstrings cramped and pinned my knees back, and right when a big set came.
And I'm just the visual, like,
my legs were like locked back, like I'm sitting right now. And, like, I was sitting there just pinned watching this big wave. I'm screwed. And I was.
Terrifying.
I got blasted and rolled around and dribbled in the bottom for a while and then crawled up on the beach, way down the beach.
Wow.
And then over the falls. Either Margaret River, I got hit by a thick lip at the box in Margaret River. That event's going on right now with the World Championship League. But I got hit there, and it felt like a bomb went off. It blew my fins off. I thought I got attacked by a shark. I went to swim, and I felt things flopping because there had been
You thought your leg was off.
Yeah, there were big great whites around that had been sighted, and that wasn't fun. And then in Tahiti, I was swimming with one of your previous guests, CJ Hopgood.
Oh, hey, CJ.
Yep, the Siege. And Damo, his brother, and we were shooting fisheye, and I got sucked over the falls at Chopu. It wasn't a big day, but it was big enough.
And it's so shallow.
Yeah, it felt like jumping off like a two-story building onto my knees on cement was pretty much how I'd describe it. I crawled into a boat with a couple other guys that were out and just kind of lay on the bottom of the boat for a while and regained my bearings. Yeah.
Regain his
I felt like one of the, the Wile E. Coyote after they dropped the piano on him. Yeah.
Test dummy.
And just like the coyote, you got back out and did it again.
Dummy went back for more.
So the moral is, if you're thinking about surf photography, don't do it.
Well, don't do it. It's fun. Just do it because it's fun. These days, doing it for a living is not as, it's much more difficult these days than it used to be.
We did interview Kirsten Schultz.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a long story, but anyway, we did interview her. And at the end of it, she really kind of exposed the lifestyle and the demands, and it made the job seem a lot less
desirable.
Hindsight, I went to 55 countries or something like that, near around about that many, and had some awesome adventures, but I mean, what really motivated me to move over to North American was to be home with my family, because I was gone constantly. And then also, like, what legacy are you leaving your kids? Oh, I had fun all over the world. Didn't see you. Didn't watch you grow up. But I had a lot of fun.
You weren't there.
So what I do now is a lot more rooted in keeping people alive, which is kind of a cool thing. And all those gross posts teach people things. And I get a lot of messaging from people saying, hey, we learned something from your post. My buddy was in a motorcycle accident. Ooh. I had a tourniquet because I read your post and I saved his life. And those things.
Wow.
You don't get that when you shoot a cover of surfing magazine.
Nobody cares.
No.
You're like, oh, yeah.
You know what? We should talk later as friends. You know how we keep saying, let's get together. Mm-hmm. Well, we will one day.
One day.
You know.
When you're not so busy holding your breath.
Right. When I'm less important than I am now.
Right.
Which will be
could
never.
Could be a while.
But anyway, I want to talk because we teach, first day and the whole thing, but we also go to some remote places sometimes. And I'm thinking, am I as prepared as I should be?
And I could teach you in like 5 minutes some things that would just.
I want to sit in on that just stuff. In case we're in on an island and we can't get to good care.
Or on Oleander Drive.
Or the way people drive
around here.
Or if you're in Puerto Rico with Billy and he chokes on a margarita lime.
Yeah. Or if you get wrapped up in your mic cord doing a really gnarly podcast.
Exactly, exactly. You got to be prepared for anything.
You
got
to be able to extricate yourself.
Anything. Yeah.
Okay.
Blackout right now.
Well, I think, thank you, DJ, for coming out. I'd love to move us on into
I came out?
out of the closet.
Are you allowed
actually,
to say
yes.
that? Are you allowed to Jeez. Say that? You're not allowed to say that.
That's news to his wife. So,
thanks, Laurel.
The Devo, I feel like we should just do the Good Samaritan, because that's what this is all about, is understanding and knowing what to do. Because I think that's probably the biggest hindrance to mm-hmm. people stepping up, is feeling comfortable that what or I'm going to do isn't going to cause more harm. And then the other part is, who is this person and do I want to help them? And so I would say, with the Good Samaritan parable, where Jesus tells the story of this guy who's injured on the side of the road, mm-hmm. and this priest walks by, super religious, and he keeps on walking. Matter of fact, he goes to the other side of the road so he doesn't get close enough to be contaminated.
Right.
And then,
for him, it was an unclean state he didn't want to enter.
Yeah. Right. And then another guy.
He was too important.
And then, the second guy was also someone who would have been in society more important, and was like, oh, I don't want to just get dirty. Maybe he didn't want any sticky blood, fake blood on him.
Yeah, yeah.
He was trolling the gram. He was busy.
Yeah, he had stuff to do. Yeah, he had some social media posts to upload. Yeah. Okay, and then the last guy was someone who is mainly looked down upon in their culture, who stepped over there, got him fixed up, mm-hmm. carried him into town, told the inn person, hey, take care of him. If there's mm-hmm. anything else you need that I haven't already given you money for, put it on my tab. I'll be back to check on him.
But see, that's the two surprising elements. A, he stepped in to help, even though in the Jewish culture, the Samaritans were, mm-hmm. you know. And then not only did he save the guy's life and then just say, peace, good luck to you, he provided for him continuously to
through
make
his
sure.
recovery.
Yeah.
For that injured person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think maybe the homework that you already put out there, DJ, is if you're not educated, go take a CPR first aid class. Just that's the basic.
Or this month, also Stop the Bleed class. You can get one. Your fire department, local fire department will probably have something going on this month, or your local community college.
Even better.
Yep.
Stop the Bleed class, and we'll post a link to that.
Yeah. Do that.
And that way you'll feel more comfortable taking action. And then, well, like Jesus said, who was the neighbor?
Yep. Who is your neighbor?
You know, that is
Won't
something.
You be my neighbor.
Speaking of, where is Mr. McFeely with my refill? Where is he?
Nico!
But, I mean, not to keep the Devo going, because mm-hmm. we said we weren't going to do that anymore, mm-hmm. but one thing.
Time's up.
Mr. McFeely? It is true. Sometimes we are judging people, like the woman I told you guys before we started recording that was freaking out on drugs or something in the mm-hmm. middle of the road. Or maybe while we were recording. I don't know. Anyway, one thing is, you know, you immediately judge her and say, well, she got herself into this one.
Mm.
And that prejudice about her situation mm-hmm. might affect your ability to see through that and help her.
Or to see her as your neighbor.
Yeah.
That
see
she's
her as
important as you are, or more important. Yeah. Yeah, treat others the way you want to be treated.
Treat others as better than yourself.
I think you need to work on that, Ashley. I don't think you're treating me well enough.
But I'm still treating you better than I treat myself, if that tells you anything.
DJ, what a pleasure to have you
Thanks
here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this went way better than I thought.
Yeah, we were a little not prepared.
I thought I was going to hate this.
So did I when I got that email at 6 a.m. this morning. Like, here's the outline for today. I was like, huh. What do you know?
Just follow along. Good thing DJ
Go
knows a lot about himself. He knows a lot about what he's doing right now. So, yeah. Whew.
Load off. All right. Thank you guys so much. Visit our website. Uh-huh. Download an episode, especially this episode. Also, if you want to support us, buyacoffee.com. Is that the name of it?
Buy me a coffee, Billy.
Buy me a coffee.
Yeah, we have a buy me a coffee. But you know what? I don't think Ren has put the actual link on our website.
It's well, if
you gotta go to buy me a coffee.
If you go to our website and then go to the events page and
it's
then
on there.
Wait, no. Then if you go, I want to buy a ticket to movie night, it's on that page.
Okay. He said he was gonna put it on the front page.
Okay, great.
But also buy me a
so
coffee.
So your website
is a thing.
Has some Hampstead engineering going on. Is that what you're telling me?
Right. Some it
we
was
need DJ to start posting some blood and guts, because that could get some, clicks. No?
I'm trying to think. Where would he know? Why would he do that? I get it now. It's a joke.
Okay,
though.
Wrap it up.
All right. Thank you, DJ.
Yeah.
Thanks, Laurel. Let's go get a refill.
Yikes.